10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and I promised you a conversation with Privy Makan, who is in studio now. It's been a festive season, and you've been busy, Privy. I've seen lots and lots of communication with you. Well, there's been so much to talk about. There always is when it comes to the function that you perform. Good season, was it? I think it has been.
Good morning, Dave, and good morning to the listeners of 88 FM.
Let's kick off with the obvious, the drama at the moment has been the water situation. Last year it was the electricity situation, which I think has been fairly well managed this year, very well managed considering, but the water is a looming challenge. Now, countrywide, water is a growing challenge. We know that it's a water scarce country that we live in. We know that water reticulation and storage is suffering from poor maintenance countrywide. We're not unaffected by it, because even though our water affairs are well managed by that private partnership with Caesar Water, they are still dependent on
a bulk supplier,
correct. Is it Umgeni Water?
Umgeni, yes. Umgeni Utugela Water.
And their infrastructure has been somewhat compromised since the big storm events, the flooding and the drama that ripped up a whole lot of infrastructure. They managed to catch up a little bit. But there is aging stuff now to deal with. And apparently the latest problem is a leak under the reservoir. Hi, what are we going to do about that?
Yeah, challenging times, obviously, Dave. And I think, you know, suddenly from the 1st of January, when the whole water situation arose to now, I will say the way Caesar Water have managed it has been extraordinary. But the perception out there in the public, the general sentiment has been that it is a Caesar Water issue. And I think it's also important to clarify that misconception, because like you said earlier, Caesar Water are also dependent on a bulk water supplier, and the bulk water supplier in this case is the Umgeni Utugela Water Services. And what has happened is that there was a leak identified, and this leak supplies water to the Avondale Reservoir, which is the primary reservoir in this area, which then supplies to the other areas within the Caesar concession area. And the concession area is kind of from the Zambali border all the way up to Itete. So it encompasses about 9 wards within Kwadugusa. I know that the mitigation measures from Umgeni are still in the pipeline in terms of the investigation and the repair to that leak. And that's also what necessitated a shutdown today. So it was a planned shutdown from 9 a.m. To 3 p.m. in order to identify and repair that leak. I'm going to go back to the way Caesar Water have managed the crisis, because, you know, the timing obviously was awful. It was towards the end of the season. We still had holidaymakers here. And I think just in terms of the way we had to communicate the challenge, but also the mitigation measures that Caesar Water put in, and just how they brought in every single resource available was quite extraordinary. And just the way that they've communicated in a very, very transparent manner, which I think is important. The other night, I think it was on the 2nd, I had the MD of Caesar Water phone me at 13 minutes past 10 to fully explain the situation, specifically around the Tafeni Reservoir, because that is a reservoir that feeds a large part of my ward. So a number of residents were impacted. But just that phone call, in terms of explaining it, being transparent, it shows this level of accountability and leadership that you don't ordinarily get. So for today, in terms of this emergency or planned shutdown rather, Caesar Water have put in a mitigation step as well, which is multiple water tankers across the area. And hopefully, residents make use of that, because water tanks are not ideal. We all want reticulated supply, but it is an emergency situation. So
it's an emergency situation that is being, as you quite rightly say, well managed under the circumstances. There have been certain inconveniences that no doubt would have been nicer not to have had to deal with them. But the wonderful, I think, takeaway from this is, as you say, there is accountability, there is communication, because generally when things go wrong, if communication is good, people understand there is a problem, this is what we're doing about it, this is the amount of time we're anticipating is going to take to deal, whether it's hours, days, weeks. If you have the information, you can prepare. You might not like it, but at least you've got the information. There is nothing worse than not having information in a crisis situation, which is sadly often the case when these things go wrong. Luckily, in this part of the world, we have good comms and public-private partnerships like the CISA, Guadalupe municipality, or the various municipal entities under Ilembe with CISA working very strongly. There's been a danger, you know, a fear that the CISA water concession, because it is a concession and it's a very valuable concession, is possibly not going to be extended beyond this year. Have you heard anything about that?
Dave, so it's a 30-year concession agreement, and the concession ends in 2029.
Oh, 29.
Yeah, so it's 2029, okay. And I know that the negotiations are underway, but ultimately, so I don't sit at the district municipality. The district municipality obviously is responsible for managing that concession, but ultimately it would be National Treasury that would sanction that decision, as with all triple P. So
okay.
With all
and by then there might well be a new government.
We
in
hope
play,
so.
And,
we hope
and
so.
And then that will take care of that situation.
Be very so, positive about that.
So
yes.
let's live in cautious optimism and take courage from where we find it.
Optimistic times indeed.
Now on that score, we've got an interesting year ahead, because local elections are happening in 2026, and in anticipation or in preparation for that, you've started already with a little bit of a survey. What has your survey been about?
So Dave, the survey actually was specific to the festive season, because that's an important time for our community. It's also a very important time for our local economy. And basically what I did with the survey was just to gauge the sentiment from our local residents in terms of how the season was managed. Because I think it's really, really important to have anecdotal data in terms of how a budget is informed or how resources are allocated over the next season. And it was a really interesting survey, and it was just 6 questions specific to law enforcement, waste removal, the cleaning of public open space. About 100 people have participated thus far in the survey. And the overwhelming sentiment, specifically around law enforcement, waste removal, and cleaning of your green spaces, the results have just been quite extraordinary, because historically, you know, what's happened with the season, you know, we've had inadequate law enforcement, inadequate enforcement from the municipality, no synergy in terms of how green spaces are cleaned. And this year has been a remarkable difference. So it's over 52% of the people that participated in the survey that have come out to say that generally the services were excellent, specifically around enforcement.
What has made the difference?
So, and the survey is specific to Salt Rock, so specific to my ward and the beach node around Salt Rock. And I think what has made a significant difference in terms of enforcement is in Salt Rock. In fact, the Balita Neighborhood Watch participate as well. So it's an aligned initiative between the Balita Neighborhood Watch, Salt Rock Neighborhood Watch, but it's driven by the Chamber of Commerce and obviously the CPFs and Neighborhood Watches. And what they do is they partner with a private security company. So with three different local security providers who are paid to assist law enforcement with control almost. So access control, whereas we know that private security don't have the mandate to search and confiscate, but they are support to the Quadruguzo community safety law enforcement officers. And I think that's made, firstly, that's made quite a remarkable difference, but it wouldn't have been...
In terms of keeping alcohol out of the mix,
yes.
Because that's always been a problem.
Dave, that's been the biggest compounding factor to a number of other social problems that happen on the beach. So the public drinking inevitably leads to, antisocial behavior. Then it leads to people getting into the water and multiple drownings. So I think that the initiative has certainly assisted in alleviating those other social social challenges. But the initiative, from a funding perspective, as I said, it's driven by the Chamber of Commerce, but it's funded by a lot of local estates, DACRA, a lot of civic and social partners. So it wouldn't be possible if our community didn't come together.
But this is pretty much on par with what has been proposed as the future for South Africa, where there is a lack of capacity in government or local government or any of the statutory bodies to fulfill certain functions. It's going to become necessary for a public-private partnership to be formed, managed, and that's how we will get the job done. Ultimately, yeah, it would be lovely to have fully functional statutory organizations, but we know where we are in time and space, and we are by no means unique in this, that there are challenges. So ultimately, all we want is for a cleaner, greener, safer environment during the festive season. We've had that. And as a result of this public-private partnership, well-managed, well-controlled, and I think three cheers all round, and this is probably going to be a matrix for successful future endeavors. It's probably the way forward. I was very interested to hear one of the top business moguls explaining his prophecy, if you like, for South Africa's future. And he was saying that the difference between South Africa and all other African countries that have experienced drama is that South Africa has a massive, thriving, organized private sector. Massive. And that is where our, to a degree, salvation is going to come from. Working together. We've got the resources, we've got the management, we've got the desire, and we've got the people.
Absolutely. You know, Dave, ordinarily, your triple P's are, they're highly regulated contracts. Like you've got the Caesar Water one, you've got the Dolphin Coast Waste, which is also a triple P. They work really, really well. But if you look at a smaller scale, there's so many triple P's that are actually unfolding informally, exactly like the festive season policing initiative, you know. So I really do believe, I have the same view as you, that that's certainly the way to go. Whether it's in a highly regulated environment, it does need to be formalized to some degree, but it does appear to be working.
And indeed, and where the results of that are clear to see. There have been very few incidents that I can point to. There was one sad drowning incident recently, but generally speaking, I haven't heard of any kind of serious altercations or any kind of drama on the beaches or in the rather overcrowded public facilities. And that's something that I think we need to be looking at as well going forward, because with development proposed, and you know that there has been quite a lot of development proposed, it's going to increase the pressure on we're not getting more beaches. We're not, that's a very finite resource. We're not getting more parking facilities, as far as I'm aware. That's a very finite resource. And so how do we cope going forward if the continued explosion of development on the North Coast is allowed to go unchecked? What are plans for the future to manage the traffic jams which we experienced over the festive season?
Yeah, so Dave, in that survey, one of the questions was, what has been the biggest challenge that you've experienced as a local MP? overwhelming sentiment has been parking. And honestly, I don't know what the solution is, you know, whether it would be for your beach facilities, whether it would be to utilize an effective being the operative word, public transport. I mean, if you are traveling from an outer lying area. But I do believe, you know, and this should actually be a legacy project for this term of council of Kwadugusa, because the Nonoti Beach Node project, as you know, has been in the pipeline for a number of years. And it's, I hope it does come to fruition in this term, because I think that it should alleviate a lot of, or some pressure from specifically the southern beaches. Because it's beautiful. It's just such a remarkable, beautiful, untouched beach. And the ablution facilities are there. The access road, we hope, will be completed. And if it does become a lifeguarded beach, I think that will alleviate some of the pressure.
Is that off the Dogodwini facility?
So Dogodwini is in another municipality. It's actually in Amatikulu, which is okay. The Amlalazi local municipality. Nonoti is here within Kwadugusa.
But it's further north.
It's further north. It's just outside of Stanger. So okay. It's almost in between.
So
I would say Blytedale and Zinkwazi. It would be your beach node in between
that
there.
That Jex Estate area.
Jex is closer to the Umvoti toll gate. So this would be, if geographically, if you look at where Blytedale is and then Zinkwazi, it would be a beach node in between that.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Which makes a lot of sense, yeah. And council have already put in quite a significant amount of budget into that project. Like I said, the ablution blocks are completed. The access road is MIG funded, so it's funded by a national treasury. And once that road is completed, we hope that it's going to be a lifeguarded beach and will offer
service. So that'll take off a little bit of the pressure?
I think some of the pressure probably from the southern beaches, but even Zinkwazi. Mm-hmm. So it will take some of the pressure off Zinkwazi, which I think will assist with that overcrowding parking issue, which has come up as a challenge for most people.
Look, we're definitely going to have challenges, and it's, as you say, how they are managed that will determine the success or future proof or guarantee for the future that people will continue to come, because it's clear that the beaches are a huge attraction, as indeed have become the shopping facilities, the restaurants, the entertainment. I mean, who'd have thought Balito, which was this tiny little sleepy hollow, a retirement place, a place of a very rural holiday and, you know, fishing shacks, suddenly has grown up to the point where people are proposing that it becomes a city.
Remarkable, right?
And with that comes enormous amount of, that word that we've used a lot this morning, challenge. But if we have the support of the elected council going forward, in terms of, you know, we've got an election coming up, people have got now the right to make their mark and to vote for who they want in local government, in positions of authority and hopefully positions of power, to make things happen. Has that been the case so far, do you think? I mean, clearly you've got three Democratic Alliance run wards. They're all running, you know, give or take. I think they're all running very successfully.
Thank you.
We've got challenges. We know about those, and there's still going to be challenges in the future. But generally speaking, I think the communication has been very effective. Are you able to command the kind of authority in council to get stuff done that we would like to have done?
So, Dave, I think the reality is, if you are in politics, irrespective of which party you're from, you've got to have a strategic vision for the area that you reside in, but for the greater municipality. And I do believe that as a DA, despite us having only three ward councillors, we've got six PR councillors, I do believe that we have a strategic vision. And in the last year, so in the year 2025, I think a lot of the outcomes, or some of the outcomes rather, which will be publicized in the media in the coming weeks, I think the DA can take credit for a number of those.
I tell you what seems to be pretty much the general view of matters politic in our area is that I'm talking now particularly Ballito and maybe Ward 6 more specifically, mm-hmm. because that is central Ballito. Ward 22, and then is it Ward
30?
30. Those are the DA. They're pretty much considered safe seats because there's been an aggregation, if you like, of people that understand what is at stake and wanting to hold on to what we have and hopefully improve what we have. And in that regard, the requirement, I think, is for leadership and management and a kind of ownership, if you like, of when problems occur. Like, for example, the Zen Park issue. Here is a matter that is a bit of a problem for you because you've got a commercial organization wanting to exercise the rights that apparently they've been granted by the fact that the piece of land in question is owned by the Department of Public Works and zoned for educational purposes. That piece of land has become a beloved green area for recreation, and it's pretty precious and a very scarce commodity. And you've got a large volume of people saying, we understand that it's been zoned this way 50 years ago, but surely in the year 2026, we can look at this thing with new eyes and say how precious the green space has become. There's opportunities for schools to go anywhere, pretty much. You know, there are other opportunities. There's no more green space. That must be a priority. Now, leadership-wise, it's difficult for you because those people wanting to build a school have got as much right to demand that what has been offered to them and signed off be given priority. You've got members of the public that say, well, we weren't consulted and it's going to definitely affect our lives. Difficult position for you.
Dave, it is a difficult position, but I think in using the term leadership, I think it's also important for leaders to ensure that the process is correct and to articulate how that process needs to unfold without being drawn into taking a specific side.
Yeah.
And it's the same with you, you know, as independent media. You can't be drawn into taking a specific side because you've got to apply objectivity to whatever the issue is. And it's exactly the same for us. So it does put us in a difficult position. But I always say that there's no such thing as a bad crisis. I mean, I look at how the water crisis has unfolded and the way my colleagues have communicated In communicating it, we've had voters reach out to us who've just moved into the area, and we've registered new voters through that, you know. So I do think that it's important to take a stand, but also be cognizant that you are elected in a position of leadership. Don't be drawn into taking a side, irrespective of what your personal view is, because I have my view on a number of things, you know, but representing the interests of the broader community.
I am wondering about that because ultimately there is what is legal and then there is what is right. And that not sometimes they are mutually exclusive. And it sounds an odd statement to make.
It is.
How can what is legal not be right? Well, I put it to you that there are laws, some of which may not necessarily do what, under the circumstances, one would consider to be justice to the demands of the situation. You know, things change all the time, and what was quite clear-cut 50 years ago, moving on 50 years, things have changed. And now if you're applying the decisions of 50 years ago to enforce what is happening 50 years later, yeah, against the will of the people, the majority of the people, that is a difficult one. Legally, yeah, they're entitled to do it. Morally, I don't know.
Yeah.
Can one lose a green space morally, justifiably, because of a law passed 60 years ago creating a precedent that this space will be reserved for a particular function? At a time when there was no one cared because you could put it anywhere. But now that has changed completely. That's what I'm talking about, leadership. You're looking at that and saying, hang on a second. Can the school go somewhere else? Yeah, well, there are challenges. Of course there are. We know that. Do we have more green space? No.
It's a difficult one, Dave, and I think...
But it's clear cut.
I think it's also to recognize, like you rightly say, that we live in a very ever-evolving, ever-changing environment. And I think the one thing that does set this community apart is that we are lucky in that we have strong civic bodies, ward councillors, people that are going to be in a position to take a process forward if the community indicate formally that this is what they want. Mm. But it has to be the community formally indicating. And, you know, I love WhatsApp groups and I love social media. But, you know, venting your concerns merely on social media without having some kind of organized way forward, it's redundant. It's going to be a redundant exercise. So if the community want to take something forward, I would suggest formalize it, and then there are processes.
Quite right. And those are the processes that I ultimately expect you will lead in the charge to follow and to lead to follow. Sounds like odd tautology.
You've had two odd statements today.
When I say lead to
follow, I get what you mean.
You will make sure, I believe, that the processes that are then put in place are followed to the teeth
for
an outcome that all can accept, right or wrong, win or lose. If the process has been fair and followed to the letter, then one must accept the result.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a good point to end it on, because we can chat about this all day, and I'd like to invite you to pop back regularly. There's lots
Thank
to talk
you,
about.
Dave.
And I wish you a very successful 2026. It is going to be an exciting year ahead. I think the winds of change are blowing. We're looking forward to following the news as it unfolds in terms of local council and developments with the Democratic Alliance and your wards, your ward in particular. Thank you for always being available to chat.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
And more strength to your bow.
Thank you. And yeah, just parting words to the listeners, a great 2026. And if you've just moved to the area, contact your local councillors to register to vote. Thank you.
And the Mid-Morning Show continues.